Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. It is Mission Sunday, and we want to... We've already received an update on our missions. Thank God for that. The Walker sent us what they're doing in Guatemala. Thank God that the gospel, Jesus died for the people in Guatemala just like he did for the people in Texas. Praise God. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the seed of God's word. You know, God's word is living and powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword. Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us that. And so let's just notice the seed of God's word as it's explained here. It falls on various types of people, on the soil of people's hearts, if you can put it that way. Jesus spoke to people that were familiar with agriculture, and, you know, they grew all their food. You know, milk didn't come from Walmart. It came from a cow. Anyway, that wasn't in my notes. Anyway, Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, verse 4. Then he spoke to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Same chapter, verse 18, we have the interpretation of it. "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And he who received the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of righteousness choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who understands the word and understands it, or hears the word and understands it, who bears fruit, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today and your Holy Spirit that's here. And I pray, O God, that you administer the lives, hearts of people, God, today. May the will of God be done. Anoint your servant, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. The seed of God's word is a powerful subject. Amen. One of the first of the 16 fundamental doctrines of the Assemblies of God is the inspired word of God. It's the first, but anyway. The story is told here of an old man who loved old books, met an acquaintance who had just thrown away a Bible that had been stored in his attic of his ancestral home for generations. And he didn't think it was of much value. And he said, "I couldn't read it," the friend explained. "Somebody named Guten something had printed it." Gutenberg. "Not Gutenberg," the book lover exclaimed in horror. "That Bible is one of the very first books ever printed. Why, a copy just sold for $2 million. His friend was unimpressed. "Mine wouldn't have brought a dollar. Some old fellow named Martin Luther scribbled all over it in German." Oh, my goodness. The guy didn't know much about church history, did he? But the great value of God's word is so valuable. It's beyond. It's not measured in dollars and cents. It's powerful because it changes lives. And the seed of the word of God falls on various people in various ways, and God touches everybody. And I'm telling you, the word of God can reach every heart, every mind, every color, every culture of people throughout this world. And if I didn't believe that, we wouldn't send missionaries to the ends of the earth. But we believe that. And that's what Jesus told us to do. And if Jesus told us to do something, I think we'd do good to listen. Amen. And to obey. But the seed of God's word, let's notice it for just a moment here in the parable that we read here. And so we find in the parable a man scattering seeds. And they fell on various types of soil. And the seed here represents the word of God. And various soils produce various types of harvest. Here Jesus uses terms of an agrarian culture they were familiar with. And I grew up on a farm. A French, half farm, half ranch. And so we knew what it was to grow things. And I didn't take much from that because I don't have a garden. But here Jesus talks about four different types of people the seed of God's word would fall on. And the seed is God's word. And the soil that it falls on are the hearts of the people where God's word is sown or spoken. The sower here is Christ. But today the believer, you and I, continue to sow God's word throughout this world. And where the seed of God's word has been preached, it has changed life, it has brought great results. That's the power of God's word. You know, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces even to division of soul and spirit. Of joints and marrow, and discerns the thought and the intents of the heart. The word of God, the Bible, speaks to every emotion, every place, every situation in life that you can come to. God's word addresses it. You say, well, the word of God was written long ago. Yes. I want to tell you something. But God has been around more than long ago and will always be around. He's eternal. And his word also is eternal. It reaches every class of people and every society of people, wherever they may be, in every language throughout this world, wherever the word of God is preached. It's brought great results. And a number of years ago, a man, you know this, Dave Wilkerson, sowed God's word to street gangs in New York City. And the sowing seemed to be kind of hard at first. But as a result of him sowing God's word there, Teen Challenge was birthed, and thousands of people have been saved from numerous sinful addictions that could not have been delivered otherwise. And so wherever God's word is, it's powerful and living and sharp. It meets the need. It touches the hearts of people. And there were people there that Dave Wilkerson saw, and God gave him a burden for the place, and people, gang leaders, almost killed him, could have killed him, didn't, but God didn't. God spared him to preach the gospel to those people, and many people were saved, and many ministries have gone out from there, and the word of God is multiplied because they believed in doing what Jesus said, that's to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not just the pretty people. And so he went there. Souls were saved, born into the kingdom of God. And today there are groups who want to do away with God's word, want to do away with the Bible. And there's people that want to destroy its teachings, to question its authority. However, the Bible, the word of God, remains the number one best-selling book of all time in all the world. That's the word of God. Amen. Let's look at this parable just for a moment today. And first of all, we see that seed is sown by the wayside. And that stands for the well-beaten path of human and animal traffic. It is a soil that's not cultivated. It's not prepared for growing anything. It's hard. And it has to be cultivated and broken up. And it has to have rain before it would possibly cause seed that are scattered onto it to sprout and grow. I know this by experience. My dad and I, one of the first things we did in preparing a crop, we would break land. A breaking plow would turn the soil over to where it could be broken, and then it would be run over several times with various plows till it got to the point where Daddy said it was time to plant. When Daddy said it was time to plant, it was time. He's a good farmer. And so he did that. And so soil that's not cultivated is not ready to grow anything. And this speaks of the conditions of people's hearts. Because many times people's hearts are not in the place where they're willing to receive the truth of God's word. They're not willing to be convicted for their sin because they're not tired of their sin. And so therefore the word of God doesn't grow in them. They're like seeds that are cast by the wayside. And so the seed represents God's word communicated in any manner to the minds of men by the scriptures, by preaching, by acts of providence, or by the direct influence of the Holy Spirit. God's word is powerful. God knows when there's a heart searching for the truth. And I believe that God sends people there, sends you and I there to speak God's word to people that their hearts are hungry and ready to hear the truth. And so when we talk to people, and it seems like you talk to some people, and it seems like to go in one ear and out the other, as if there's nothing in between them. But it seems like God's word just really doesn't mean anything to some people. But somewhere or another, they will get to the point where they realize there's no answer in life, and I'm searching for an answer. Man, so the field is the world, or people who have heard, who have the word of God preached to them. But the wicked one here that comes and steals away the seeds that were sown stands no doubt for the devil. And he is accuser of the brethren. He is a tempter. He is the devil that corrupts the word of God that is sown in the hearts of people. And there's people that say, oh, I don't believe the word of God is true. Surely there's not anything to that. People of long ago wrote that. And so it's just not real or relevant today. But I want to tell you, it is very relevant today. If the word of God is preached, it changes people's hearts and lives. And so to receive the truth of the scriptures, and the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they received the truth of the scriptures, but finally rejected Jesus as being the Son of God, which means that they didn't really understand or receive the scriptures that they were taught, and they didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament, which had numerous prophecies of Christ that they could not have ignored. Numerous prophecies of Christ, because Jesus would fulfill all three Old Testament offices of the Old Testament, that being of prophet, priest, and king. He fulfilled all of it, fulfilled every scripture, still will fulfill it in his second coming in a powerful way. But they rejected Jesus as being the Son of God. And through excuse, unbelief, or reasoning away the truth of scripture, a person that is hard-hearted, and they don't want to receive anything, they don't want to receive any truth, it's like scattering the seed of God's word on the well-beaten path that has no place to take root or to produce fruit. And the hard heart is where we're reminded of Pharaoh's hard heart. And I just read through the book of Exodus, and Pharaoh was hard-hearted, hard-headed, or any other kind of hard that you want to talk about. He was hard. He didn't have anyway. If you can watch 10 plagues and not somehow being convicted and saying that God's working, and when all the vegetation's gone, all the animals died from a hailstorm, surely somewhere along the line, it's just say, hey, you know what, Pharaoh? God's trying to talk to you. And so, reminds me of Balaam's donkey. If God never runs out of things he can work through. And he caused a donkey to talk to Balaam. And several times his donkey would sit down or crush his foot up against the wall. And after a while, the donkey started talking to him, said, I've been a good donkey to you many years. Say, what's wrong? And the donkey said, I'm trying to keep you and protect you from that guy up there, the sword that's about to part your hair. So it's hard for some people to hear what God's saying. But hard-hearted, seeds that fall on stony ground, this represents, Satan is represented by the fowls that came and picked up the seeds by the wayside. The gospel is preached to men hardened by sin. The truth is stolen by Satan. I remember a man, a fellow farmer of my dad's who worked, who owned land beside us when I was a kid, and he worked hard. He was a decent man and took care of his wife and family, provided good, had good crops, and he and my dad would talk at various times about the crops they were fixing to plant or they were harvesting, whatever they were doing. And he was a good man, but he was a lost man, and he was away from God, and it came the time for him to die, and he was on his deathbed. And somehow or another, the word of God never penetrated his heart. It was very hard where the seeds just fell on nothing but hard ground. And on his deathbed, he said, I don't want to hear anything. I don't want a preacher to come talk to me. I don't want the Bible read to me. I don't want to hear anything about God. I don't want any of that stuff. I don't want anybody praying for me. I don't want any of that. And to our knowledge, that's the way he died. He died the way he lived, a lost man. And the seed of God's word fell on ground that would not grow and would not turn him from his evil way to serve the Lord. The devil stole the word, and it was gone. And God's word shows the condition of the heart. And the condition of man's heart without God is hard and sinful. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so without God, the mankind's heart is hard like the ground that seed are scattered on that won't take root or grow. And so the devil steals the word that was sown to the sinner and brings him to his need for God. To bring him for his, to his need for God, the devil steals that. And the enemy of your soul will say at times, oh, you're just involved in the emotion of the moment. There's not really a savior. There's not really a healer. I've heard testimony contrary to that right this morning. And your preacher is testimony to the divine healing power of God. And other people are throughout this congregation tell when God's touched you and healed you and ministered to you, we serve a living God. He's not dead. He's alive. He's seated on the throne of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's a Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Praise God. He's God. Hallelujah. So the devil steals the word that was sown. The devil still steals. He's the enemy, and he doesn't want you to move forward with God, Christian. Just remember what Jesus said about him. He's a lying devil. Man, I've heard people call that. It's not a good thing to say to people. Don't ever say that. The devil is a lying devil. And Jesus said he's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. He's not capable of speaking the truth because there's no truth in him. John 8:44 tells us that. And the enemy of your soul does everything possible to keep you from following Christ and to keep you away from the truth of God's word. That's the reason that people, it's hard to read your Bible sometimes. Man, what do I read? Read it prayerfully, and God will make it real to you. Praise the Lord. And so the seed that fell on by the wayside didn't produce any fruit. If you're worried, this is a two-part sermon. Okay. We have, second of all, the seed that fell on stony ground or in stony places. It refers to only a thin layer of topsoil was there with bedrock underneath. And where no soil would grow or nowhere plant would grow to take root in. In other words, the soil was shallow. And there are plenty of shallow things today. Shallow teachings that require no commitment, that require no endurance. And it's just a gospel that's just feel-good gospel that just makes you want to feel good for the moment. And there are churches that start, and overnight it seems like some churches that start, or overnight they're running 200 or 300 people. But after a little while, after a year or two, you hear that church no longer exists, and those 200 or 300 tares went to some other church. You didn't get it. But you see, that happens because the seed of God's word had fell on stony ground. It never did take root. They never did go forward. They never did do what God said. And I'm not here to run down any denomination or any church at all. I believe they start good, but let's keep on living for God. You know, and a lot of people say, well, I don't need church anymore. I just don't need to go to that place. I just don't need to, you know, there's too many hypocrites there. There's whatever excuse you want to use that people can find use. We'll just stay home and do internet church. You say, well, does the Bible say anything about that? God didn't know anything about the internet. Let me tell you something. God knows everything about everything. There's nothing he didn't know about. Mankind's never invented one thing that God didn't know about and know every detail about before it was ever invented to us. He's a God of all knowledge, all knowing, all powerful, and all present. Praise the Lord. And so, I heard somebody the other day say, we'll just stay home with our internet church. Let me tell you something. Whoever you're watching on the internet, if you get sick and you need somebody to come pray for you in the hospital, that guy isn't going to come where you are. You're going to depend on the local church. You know, the Word of God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. but exhort one another, encourage one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Jesus planted the church and meant for the church to be what it's supposed to be. We're gathered, bodies of Christ gather together, and to pray for one another, to preach to one another, to exhort one another, to testify, to encourage one another. God planted the church. It was not man's idea. It was God's idea. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church to where the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And so it's no time to be spiritually asleep. It's time to be together and proclaiming God's word. But there's many people who've the word of God fell on stony ground and it didn't have much earth. And when the sun came out strong and bright, it couldn't stand because it wasn't planted in fertile soil. And I'm reminded of an example of this in the book of Acts. Most people go to the book of Acts for examples, especially Pentecostal preachers. But in the book of Acts, chapter 17, Paul goes there and he speaks to, he's just been preaching to some other people, and when he was in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the whole city given to idolatry. That sparked in Paul is saying these people need the gospel. They need to hear the word of God. The seed of God's word needs to fall right here. And so he began to spread the seed of God's word. And so he began to preach to them. And they brought him to the Mars Hill, the Areopagus. And they said, may we know what this new doctrine is, what you speak. And all the Athenians, kind of like some Americans sometimes. And it says here that all the Athenians and foreigners who were there present spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or hear some new thing. And so, what's the latest gossip? I don't know if you call it gossip or not, but what's the latest thing that you've heard? And here Paul began to preach Christ and began to preach the resurrection. He said, I saw you have a statue or you have an idol made to the unknown God. He said, I'd like to talk to you about this unknown God, because Paul realized nobody in Athens knew about the real true God. They had plenty of gods of other sorts, false gods. And he began to preach to them the gospel. He preached Christ. He preached the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And they just couldn't handle anything that had to do with the resurrection. They didn't believe anybody could rise again from the dead. And so the seed of God's word fell mainly among stones here in Greece. But however, some among the stones, there were some who believed, turned, and changed. There's always somebody that will, praise the Lord. In Acts 17, verse 30, it says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent. And I can see Paul looking at the Athenians and said, that means you. Repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained and given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And that was just a new thing they were not used to hearing at all in Athens. They had philosophers and people that were able to argue and able to convince everybody that they were wrong and all the Athenians were right. Well, they had all the arguments down. They had all the, I mean, they were above Dr. Phil. Not running him down. But they had it all, or they thought. But when Paul talked about the resurrection from the dead, some scoffed, some mocked, but some said, we'll return and hear you again about this matter. Verse 32, and when they, 17 and 32 of Acts, you wonder where I'm at. They heard the resurrection of the dead. Some mocked, others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed. Where the seed of God was scattered, yes, it may have been hard ground, it may have been stony ground, but some believed. And some would be saved. And not everybody that hears the word of God wants to hear it, but there will be some that will realize that this is the answer to them. And so the seed that fell on the stony ground, they sprang up for a while. But the early church would, and Jesus said, but when persecution or tribulation arises, they fall away because they have no depth. The early church in the book of Acts would face persecution. They would be executed. Most of them would be executed for their faith, or many of them would be executed for their faith. I want to tell you something, friend. What they had to be real, or they would have given up when a persecution comes along and said, I'm going to kill you for your faith unless you deny who Jesus Christ is. And they wouldn't deny Christ. And Stephen died calling on the name of the Lord, the first Christian martyr. Well, the stones were coming thick and fast, for they stoned him to kill him. And he looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Praise the Lord. And he said, pray, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Hallelujah. And so there's some that will fall on good ground. Praise the Lord. And salvation is free, but a cost comes with discipleship. A commitment is a must for every believer. You know, Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. Not just to make people that can say, well, don't get everybody to say the sinner's prayer of all nations. Yes, that's important. But to continue to follow Christ may involve a cost, and will involve a cost. A cost that many people aren't willing to pay. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus speaks of what commitment it would take to follow him. And Jesus speaks words here that's difficult for us to understand, or but he says, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You say, well, preacher, you've been preaching that God will give you peace. Yes, he's right. But sometimes in family situations, not everybody in your family is going to agree with your faith. And sometimes it will cause divisions among you, or at least disagreements. And I've been around family members we just didn't bring up talking about God because we knew that they didn't want to hear it. And it was going to lead to an argument if you did. And so it was just kind of stony. But Jesus says here, I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be of his own household. Jesus is saying here, really true commitment to the gospel may not be well received by everyone, even people in your family. It may not be well received. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. But Jesus talks of commitment here, and he said, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. I want to tell you something. That is strong language. That is Jesus telling it must mean everything to you to walk with God, to serve God, and to live for God. He must mean more. You must love God more than family, wife, children, kids, whatever. You must love God more. And I will tell you something. I love family. I love my wife. Amen. That's not the first time I've told her. I love everybody. And I love my children. And I love my grandchildren. And I can't imagine being without those 6 grandkids that I have. But I want to tell you something. Jesus must come before that. If everybody in the world rejects Christ but you, you better live for God no matter what. And so Jesus talked of commitment here. And so the stony believer will not make it. Commitment too shallow to take root among the stones. Our relationship with God must be strong. Our love for God, Christ, must be above all other loves. Nothing must compete with our love for God. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things that compete with people's relationship with God. You can't let ball games and sports compete for your relationship with God. When I was a kid, it didn't compete with church attendance. They wouldn't have things at the school on Wednesday night. They didn't have ball games on Sunday. Amen. But friend, nothing can compete for our relationship with God. It goes further than that. There are times when you just have to be tough and take a stand. Amen. And something sounds new and sounds good, and others see and join in, but they are unstable as water. Their faith isn't genuine. They see the gospel as life insurance to escape hell. But those on stony ground, they're told of free salvation, of the believer's privileges, and the happiness of heaven. But if it's on stony ground, their heart isn't changed to no real commitment to follow Christ. They don't know what God has provided that they might be saved from eternal separation from God. When the sun comes out and it gets hot, they can't take the heat, like seeds on stony ground that'll die with the heat of the sun as the plants that come up in shallow soil. Amen. And church, let us keep sowing the seed of God's word at home and abroad. Yes, there's an enemy that steals the seed of God's word, but you and I don't have to let him steal the word of God from us. Amen. And there are people out there with searching hearts, that are hungering hearts, that are looking for answers to life's problems, and they can't find them. They hadn't found it anywhere in the secular world to try to deal with life. They found pills to take. They found people to listen to. But when it's all said and done, they're back in the same shape they were before they ever started. They need God. They need Christ. They need salvation. They need deliverance from sin. They need the hope and peace of eternal life in their heart. And they need their walk with God to be genuine. Praise the Lord. So, there's some that fell on hard ground, some on stony places, and there's more. Praise God. But it's 5 after 12, so I'll finish tonight, okay? Praise the Lord. Don't be too stony and stay home tonight. Okay. Couldn't help that. Okay. Praise the Lord.